The Gemara, really in the bottom of Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, brings a story that somebody borrowed a tool from his friend and it broke. So Rav said, pay the mashal back a nargamalia, a working kli. And Rav Kahana Rav Asi told Rav, is that the halacha? The halacha is not like that. Rav was quiet. And the halacha talks like Rav Kahana Rav Asi that he doesn't have to pay back a nar gemalia. What's the shakla of tari over here? There are actually several mahalchim in the Rishonim. Rashi explains the shakla of tari between Rav and Rav Kahana Rav Asi is like this. Rav said that the shayel has to reimburse the mashal with a brand new nar. The shayel will keep the broken one for himself and replace the broken one with a brand new one. Give that to the mashal. Rav Kahana Rav Asi asked, since when does that look like that? The Gemara says in the beginning of Bava Kamma, Nafyud, that Bailam would tap him in the Velo. If Reuven's shor killed Shimon's shor, so Reuven may have to reimburse Shimon, but that's only on top of the value of the Nevela, which belongs to Shimon. So let's say the animal is worth $100 before that, when it got killed, the Nevela is worth 30. So that 30, Shimon take, and he has to deal with it. Reuven's chiv to Shimon is the other 70. So here as well, the shayel should give back the broken parts. Whatever value they have should be deducted from the chiyuv that the shayel has to the mashal. And that's the halacha, that the mashal has to take the broken parts and deduct that from the chiyuv that the shayel has towards it. However, Tosfos asks on Rashi, what's the havamina? Why could Rav even entertain the tzad that the shayel can't reimburse the mashal with the broken pieces of the narga? Let's say a narga is a hammer. How could Rav even think that one cannot pay back with the broken pieces of the hammer? The halacha is that a ganav and a gazel and a mazik, anybody can pay back with anything that's metaltal. Even Subin, the Gemara says, the chaff, the byproduct of a wheat, anything can be paid with as long as it's metaltal. There's no din meitav, only by karka. Mail, if it's metaltal, if it's something that's not stationary, you can pay with anything. So how could Rav think that you cannot pay back with the broken parts of the hammer? But therefore, the Rashbam has a different mahalach in explaining the shakla v'tarya between Rav and Rav Kahana. The Rashbam explains that Chitas Rav was in a case where, let's say the hammer was worth $100, and it broke, and now it's worth $25. A broken narga, a broken hammer is worth $25, and that's what it was worth at the time it broke. It took another 2 weeks, another month, till they got to Bezdin. By the time they got to Bezdin, the broken hammer's pieces were devalued to a point of $20, not $25. Rav holds that of course he can pay back with the broken pieces of the narga, of the hammer. The question is, at what value? Do we say that the broken pieces are worth $25 as they were when the hammer actually broke, and therefore he just has to reimburse the mashal for another $75? Or do we say no, the loss of value, the devaluation that happened between the time that it broke and the time they went to Bezdin will actually be on the shayel as well? Rav holds that just like by a ganav and a gazlan, if the item that was stolen broke and it devalued between the time that it broke and the time they went to Bezdin, the loss will be swallowed by the ganav, by the gazlan. If he stole an item that's worth $100 and it broke and it was worth now $25, by the time they got to Bezdin, the item was only worth $20, the gazlan is going to have to reimburse the nigzal. Besides giving him the item that's worth $20, he has to give him another $80. So Rav compared a shayel to a ganav and gazlan in this case, to which Rav Kahana and Rav Asi replied, it's not a comparison. By ganav and gazlan, the item that was stolen really left the rishus, left the possession of the nigzal. The gazlan was kainat b'shini when it broke. Shini was kainat to a gazlan. Mela, when it devalued from 25 to 20, that was the gazlan's item that devalued. Therefore, he's going to have to swallow it. Whereas by a shayel, the item, when it was broken, still remained in the possession of the mashal. The shayel never took it out of the rishus of the mashal. Therefore, it is the mashal's narga, it's the mashal's broken hammer,
that devalued. And therefore, when it goes down from 25 to 20, that loss is going to have to be swallowed by the mashal, not the shayl. So, of course, according to everybody, the shayl can pay the mashal back with the broken pieces of the nagah. He can pay back with anything that's metaltal. Machlekes Rav and Rav Kahana and Rav Asi is just at what rate? At the rate of what it's worth now in Bezdin? That's what Rav holds. It doesn't matter if it devalued between the point of breaking and by the time they got to Bezdin. Since Lamaisa, right now in Bezdin, it's even worth less. So the shayl is going to have to swallow that loss, the devaluation between the breaking point and the time they got to Bezdin. According to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, since Lamaisa, the broken hammer was still in the possession of the mashal at that point, therefore the devaluation between the breaking point and the time they got to Bezdin will be the mashal's loss as well. Now the Rav Oman Tosis really takes this idea but a step further. He says the machlokes between Rav and Rav Kahana and Rav Asi is not necessarily where there was any devaluation. It could be it stayed the same price. It could be when the $100 hammer broke, it's worth $25. It stayed at $25. Also, at the time of Hamad Abedin, when they got to Bezdin. What's the machlekes? According to Rav, we don't, as a Bezdin, suggest that the Shayel reimburse the Mashal with the broken pieces of the Narga and then add on to fully reimburse the Mashal for his loss. We don't say give back the broken Narga, which is valued at $25, and then give him another $75. Rather, we tell the Shayel, pay back the Mashal what you owe him. It's $100. If the Shayel decides to use the broken pieces of the Narga, that's his prerogative. He can pay back with anything he wants. He can pay back with soda cans also. However, we don't suggest to him up front to pay with the broken pieces of the Narga. However, according to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, they say, since Lamaisa, these broken pieces of the Narga do in fact belong to the Mashal, so it's perfectly correct, morally, to tell the Shoyal, give the broken pieces of the Naga first, back to the Mashal. Whatever its value is, you'll deduct from what your final chayv to him is. Therefore, we say if the broken pieces of the Naga are worth $25 and the brand new Naga is worth $100, so give him the broken Naga, knock $25 off your chayv, and just pay him the other $75. Because Lamaisa, it does belong to him. It is the Mashal's broken pieces. Why shouldn't the Shayel be given advice to pay back with that right away? Now, if you take a look at the Nemukah Yosef, you'll see that he understands in Rav, it's not that Rav understood that the broken Naga really belongs to the Shayel. Rav is also a Maida. Of course he knows that the Naga never left the Rishus of the Mashal, and it's not comparable to a Ganim and Gazlan. After Shino, he actually leaves the Rishus of the Nigzal and goes to the Rishus of the Gazlan. By Shayel and Mashal, it's definitely not the case. It definitely stayed in the Rishus of the Mashal. And therefore, if, in fact, the Shayel told the Mashal, the pieces of the Nargar over here, please take them as reimbursement, partial reimbursement at least, of what I owe you. And afterwards, there was an Einus that got swept away somehow through an Einus. The Shayel will be Potter, as it's the Mashal's Narga. Therefore, those $25, the Mashal will have to incur that loss. The only point of contention between Rav and Rav Kahana and Rav Asi is whether the achrayus the shayl has to the Mashal includes the evaluation from the point of breaking to the shas hamad bedin. But any other loss besides the evaluation, if it was nenas and the like, of course, Rav will be meida that such a loss falls squarely on the shoulders of the Mashal. Now we just quoted the Nemukah Yosef that says if the Shayel told the Mashal, take the broken pieces, and it was nenas, let's say a hurricane swept it up, the Shayel will be potter. What happens if it wasn't nenas? If it was just nignaf, if it got stolen? So in such a case, we actually find the machlokes, the Rama and the Sma. The Rama holds that he's potter. He extrapolates from this Nemukah Yosef that not only is he potter by an oinus, he accepts the Nemukah Yosef to be lav dafka. It could be even if it was nignav, in such a case as well, the shayl will be potter. However, the sma holds, in such a case, of course, the shayl will be chayiv. If it was a case of gneiva v'aveda, even if he told the mashal, take it, of course, it was kol zman ha-shayl, or the time, the period of the shayl definitely finished. Nevertheless, the halacha is every shayl, after the zman ha-shayl finishes, after the period of the loan expires, the shayel remains a shomer socher on the item. He's not chayev in einus like a shayel, but he is chayev in avodah like every shomer socher, because we say it's for a hoyel v'nena mahana. Since he got benefit from the mashal by borrowing this item, true, the shayel finished. Nevertheless, he remains a shomer socher because of the hanoi he got. Therefore, the sma holds in a case where the narga broke and he told the mashal, take it, please, even though he's not a shayel anymore, but he still will be considered a shomer socher, and therefore be chayav b'gneiva aveda, not like the Ramah. As he understands the mukiyasa to be dafka. Dafka was nenas al bipater, but on gneiva aveda will be chayav. And what happens if he didn't say toil? What happens if it broke and the shayel didn't say, take your broken pieces? In such a case, the sma understands from the mukiyasa only because he said toil, only because he said take it. If he didn't say toil, the sma understands that according to the mukiyasa, the shayel will remain chayav b'ainten, he's still a shayel on it. However, the ksais disagrees with the sma. The ksais understands that since he cannot use this narga anymore, it's automatically considered a kol sazman ha-shayel. It's as if the term of the loan expired by default. When he can't use the loaned item anymore, he cannot be considered a shayel. Therefore, automatically, even without saying toil, he automatically becomes a shomer socher. If he does say toil, according to the ksais, he argues both on the Ramah and the Sma, he understands that he's not going to be chayiv even like a Shemar Chinam. He's totally potter. The Ksais brings a right to that from a Gemara and Daf Mem test that if somebody said Shkol Zuzach, he's actually not going to be even a Shemar Chinam. Ayin Sham.
The Ksais has a whole arichas in this in Simon Shin Dalad Mem. Now let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara says a story about someone lent his cat to his friend in order to chase away the mice. The mice of the mice turned on the cat, and they actually attacked the cat and killed it. And the shayla was brought to Rav Ashi, and Rav Mordechai said a memra from Rava that, of course, it's going to be considered meisim achas melocha, and it'll be potter. Afterwards, actually, the Gemara brings a different Lishna that says the story was that the cat ate too many mice. He was so successful at his work, and he just died from overeating of the mice. There too, the Gemara's maskana is that it's considered potter because it's meisim achas melocha. Tosfos asks Akasha, what's the habamin that should be meisim achas melocha? Why would I think that the shayel is chayiv? So Tosfos answers, you might think there's a pshia mitzad the shayel that he brought it to a place where there are so many mice, if the shayel did something wrong in that case. And the maskana is, no, that's not a problem mitzad the shayel. Now this machlokes is between the sma and trumas hadeshen, which lishna is the bigger chiddush? The Sma understands that the Lishna Basra, the second Lishna of the Gemara, is a bigger chiddush than the first one. The Sma says that in the first case of the Gemara, where the Achbarim banded up against the Shunra, against the cat, and killed it, that case is much easier to understand. It should be Meisim Achas Melacha, because he was doing his job, and the mice banded up and killed him. But in the case where the cat overate on the mice, that's not Meisim Achas Melacha, that's something peripheral. The cat actually did a very good job in getting rid of the mice. He did too good a job, in fact. He ate that many mice, but that's not the job that he was asked to do. He was asked just to get rid of the mice. There you might think it's not meisim achas melocha, kamash malon, that even that is considered meisim achas melocha. Kolishkin, if he was attacked by the mice while doing his job, that's definitely meisim achas melocha, as it's totally involved in what he's supposed to be doing. However, in the Trumas Hadeshen, Simon Shin Chav Ches, smash, just the opposite. Trumas Hadeshen is mashma that he understands is a bigger chiddush in the first case than in the second case. In the second case, where he overate and died because of overeating the mice, he died through what he was doing, through the malacha. He was meant to catch the mice, and he died by doing the act that he was supposed to do. Mashayin Kain, when in the first case the mice attacked the cat and killed him, that's not really from the malacha itself. It's a peripheral thing that happened while he was doing the malacha. It's not from the malacha itself, and therefore, that's already a bigger chiddush. I might think that's not meisim achas malacha, kamash malon, that too is a meisim achas malacha. Al kolpan, whatever the case is, whichever lishna is a bigger chiddush, the Trumas Hadeshen actually extrapolates from the first lishna a tremendous chiddush. He says, in a case where Reuven borrowed weaponry, borrowed a sword and a shield from Shimon to go fight against the invading army that's invading their town. And Lemaisa Reuven was not as good as a warrior as he thought, and he fell to the invading army, and they took away the armor that he had. They took away his sword, they took away his shield. The true Masadesh and Paskin is that Reuven will be putter from paying Shimon because it's Mesa Machas Malacha. He was involved in doing the war that he told Shimon he's going to be doing, and Shimon knew that that's what he's doing. And therefore, it's going to be Mesa Machas Malacha. That's what happened during the war. Just like when the mice attacked the cat, it's not something integral that had to happen while he was using the sword and the shield. Nevertheless, since it was Bishas, what he told the Mashal is going to be doing, and it came about through the Malacha that he said he's going to be using the Chayfetz HaNishal, that he's going to be using the loaned object for, so it's considered Mesa Machas Malacha. True, he didn't necessarily have to lose the sword and the shield. Likewise, the cat didn't necessarily have to be attacked by the mice and die. Still, that's what happened. B'shas, he was Isaac in the Malacha, and therefore he's going to be Potter as Mesa Machas Malacha. However, the Shach is very upset with that. He says that it's not considered Mesa Machas Malacha only according to the Shita of the Rishonim, and actually the Mechaber passages like that, that the din of Mesa Machas Malacha is not because of Pshias HaMashal necessarily. Rather, since the Mashal knew that the Shoyl is going to be doing this and this Malacha, and he didn't specify this Makbid if it gets lost, B'shas Maisa, that means he was not Makbid and he was Mavater on any loss that happens during the use of the Chayvetz HaNishal through what the Shoyl declared he's going to be doing. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if somebody borrowed an animal to ride on, to go on a certain road, and on that road in particular there were ganavim, and it was stolen, the halacha is that's considered Mesa Machas Malacha, because the Mashal knew that he's going on that road. However, the Shach brings the Shittas Ramban, we really discussed this in the previous year, the Shach brings the Shittas Ramban, that the halacha Mesa Machas Malacha is only based on the fact that the Mashal did something wrong. The Mashal was negligent in lending the Shoyl something that was going to die in the middle of the work. He gave him, obviously, a weak animal. He gave him a sickly animal. Therefore, you can't have a taina on the shayel. And the tayer definitely wasn't mechayev the shayel for such a thing. But if there was nothing wrong with what the mashal gave the shayel, rather it was the shayel's bad luck, he went on that road and the ganovim came and stalked him and ambushed him and took that animal away from the shayel, there was nothing wrong with the animal. Since there's nothing wrong, it wasn't a sickly animal, it was just bad mazel of the shayel. The halacha is that the shayel is going to have to pay according to the Ramban, and that's how the Shach paskins. Therefore, this same idea would apply to the case of the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin says if Reuven borrowed weaponry and he went to battle and he lost the weaponry because he lost the war, according to the Trumas Hadeshin, that's Mesa Machas Malacha. That only works with the Shita Samachaber, which is based on the Shita in the Rishonim, which is really the Rashba's Shita. That Mesa Machas Malacha is because the Mashal didn't expressly say that he's Makbid if it gets lost or broken or stolen during the use that the Shoyl said he's going to use it for. Since he didn't say that, so he, according to the way the Gemara understands, he definitely was Meichel, he accepted upon himself the consequences of whatever happens to it while the Shoyl uses what he declared his intended use was. But according to the Ramban, and that's why the Shach paskins, since there was nothing wrong with the sword, there was nothing wrong with the shield, there was no pshias on Mashal, it was just that the Shoyl didn't know how to go to do battle. It could be he did know how to do battle, but he wasn't good enough to win the war. In such a case, the Shoyl will be chayiv, and there's no raya from the case of Shunra over here. Over here, there was something wrong with the cat. The cat wasn't up to the task that was given to it. Why did the Mashal put the cat in such a situation? It's Pshias HaMashal. Mashal did something wrong, therefore the Shoyl is Potter. But if it was not an issue with a cat, rather, there was nothing wrong with a cat, it was just pure bad luck of the Shoyl, of course, the halach will be the Shoyl B'chayv, according to the Ramban, and therefore likewise in the case of the weaponry. Now, really, the Ramah argues on the Shulchan Aruch that says that if somebody borrowed an animal to go on a particular road and it was taken away from him, while he was there, Shulchan Aruch says his potter is Mesa Machas Malacha. And the Goyin explains that the Mechaber learns that from our Gemara of the case where the cat was attacked from many mice. The Mechaber understands that since he was busy doing what was asked of him, that was the job that the Shoyl asked the Mashal to borrow the cat for, and while he was doing the work of the Shoyl, the cat was attacked and killed. So likewise, when a person borrows a horse to go on a particular road, and it's stolen, as it's ambushed from Ganovim that are on the road, he's going to be potter, al tmeis ha-machas melacha, like our Gemara. However, the Rama says it's not a comparison at all. By the case of the cat, it's tmeis ha-machas melacha because it was something connected to the job that the cat was supposed to be doing. The cat was attacking the mice. The mice turned on the cat, and they said they're going to attack the cat instead. There is some connection between what he was doing to the Mesa Machas Malacha. Mashenken over here, there's no connection between the work that the Shail borrowed it for to go on that road and the Ganavim. It's not part and parcel of the job that the Shail asked the Mashal to borrow the Behemoth for. It's something totally peripheral, something that has no kasher, no connection to the work the Behemoth of the Mashal was doing for the Shail. It happened to be that it came about at the same time, but it's not integrally connected, and therefore the Rama holds it won't be considered a case of Meisim Achas Malacha. And really, Tosis, we mentioned earlier, asked the Kasha, what's the Gemara's Chiddush? It's Pshita, of course he's going to be Patur, it's Meisim Achas Malacha, and that's because it's clearly connected, the work the Shail was doing with this Shunner, with this cat, to the death of the cat. It died in the line of duty. Mashen came over here, and in the case of the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch that we mentioned, and Simon Shin Mem Sif Gimel, where somebody borrowed a horse to ride it on a particular road, grada, it was stolen during the use of the shayl, but it not didn't become because of the use of the shayl. It happened at the same time, but wasn't through that particular malacha. It could have happened in a different place, the same way. It wasn't directly connected to the malacha that the shayl did, therefore, according to the Rama, is going to be chayiv. So again, to summarize, according to the Shulchan Aruch, anything that happens b'shas, the Shiloh, it's during the use that the Shail declared the Shail is going to be potter, that's called Meisa Machas Melacha, because it happened during the time of the Melacha. The Shita of the Shulchan Aruch is extrapolated from our Gemara, that the cat was attacked while it was chasing away the mice. The idea of the Shulchan Aruch is because Meisa Machas Melacha must be a p'tur based on the Mahalach of the Rashba, that it's since the Mashal didn't say clearly he's makbid, the consequences that will come out through the use of the shayl that he declared he'll use it for, since he didn't expressly say that he's not mevater, we assume that he is meichel, accepted upon himself the loss of the animal if it happens during the use of the shayl. According to the Rama, no comparison to the case of Shunra, Var Gemara, because over there, by the case of the cat, it died through the work it was doing, whereas in the case of the horse that was borrowed to be ridden on a particular road, it didn't die or get stolen through the use of the shayl in particular. It happened during the time of the use of the shayl, but not through what he did. The Ganovim could take it anywhere, in any place. It wasn't particularly due to the malacha that he did, and therefore Michaev. However, the Rama does say, he passes like the Truma Sadesh, and in the case where somebody borrowed weapons to fight a war and he lost, and the weapons were taken away by the conquering army, there the Rama says that the Shail is potter, because that is Meisa Machas Melacha. That came about directly due to the Melacha that the Shail asked to borrow it for. The Shach over there argues as well, and he says not only in the case of the animal that was borrowed to go on a particular road, even in the case of the armor, since there was nothing wrong with what the Mashal lent the Shail, there was no Pshias HaMashal, the risk then is entirely on the shoulders of the Shail, and therefore it's going to be Chayiv in both cases. Neither of those cases will be a case of Meisa Machas Melacha. Now getting back to the Gemara, Rava said somebody who wants to borrow something and be Potter, the Eitza is, let the Shail tell the Mashal, as he's going to take the object that he's borrowing, please get me a drink of water, thus making the Shailah Shailah B'Bailam. He's Oisik B'Mlechas HaShail, the Mashal is doing something for the Shail at the point of the Shailah. Chiddush Yerim asks, what's the Chiddush? It's Pashit. That's the Halacha of Shailah B'Bailam. And more than that, Rava continues and says, if the Mashal is a Pikeach, he'll say, you know what, first borrow the thing that you're borrowing, and then I'll give you a drink. Asks the Chiddush Yerim, what's the pikchus, what's the sharpness in this as well? It's Pashit. Then it's not Shailah B'Bailam, because he's doing the Shaila before the Ba'alo Imoy. Shech Tashrim explains that the Chiddush in the Gemara is like this. You might think that for the Shaila to tell the Mashal, please give me a drink, B'shas, that he's borrowing the thing that he's borrowing, B'shas is making the Ma'aseh Mashicha. You might think the Mashal doesn't want to lend the Shaila something without Chiyuv Achrayis. He's never maskim to lend him in a case where it should be Ba'alo Imoy. Therefore, in the case where, let's see, Reuven asked Shimon, can I borrow your para? And Shimon said, go ahead. And Reuven's about to make Mashiach, says, please get me a drink of water also, if you don't mind. And meanwhile, as Shimon goes to get the drink of water for Reuven, Reuven does Mashiach on the para, thus make the Shiloh a Shiloh B'Bailim. So you may think that was also, he's tricking Shimon into lending him the para in a way that he's going to be potter. And more than that, it could be that Shimon was never maskim to lend him a para, and even where Reuven's going to be potter from Achrayus. So therefore, it's going to be also to do a Mashiach on the para. It'll be actually be Gezel. Basically, Reuven tricked Shimon into lending him something without an Echiv Achrayus. Kamashmal and Rabba, that's not a problem. There's no Isser in that. And more than that, Shimon can't come back and say, hey, I was never maskim to lend it to you in Oifen, where you're going to be potter, where it's going to be Shiloh Abaylam. Shimon cannot be Chayzer. Shimon can't back out from the Shiloh. And the reason is, since earlier he said, go ahead and make Mashiach, and he didn't change his mind, didn't back out from it. So Reuven had a right to do that, and even though it's going to wind up to be a Shiloh Abaylam, nevertheless, Reuven halachically didn't do anything wrong. And Shimon Taka doesn't have to know that it's going to be a Ptur of Shiloh Abaylam. Nevertheless, that's the halacha. It's Gzeres HaKos. So the Shiloh Abaylam is potter. So that is a tremendous chiddush of Rava, that he can actually almost fool the mashal to lend him the para, and he'll still be potter because of Shiloh Abaylam. The pikchus of the mashal that Rava talks about when he says to the shayl in return, you know what? I'll be happy to give you a drink, but first you borrow the para. Afterwards, I'll get you the drink. Which the chiddushim asked, it's pashut. What's the chiddush in that? What's the pikchus? So the chiddushim explains, we're talking about a case where the mashal doesn't want to back out. He wants to stay true to his word. He said you can borrow, so he taka means it. He wants to let the shayl borrow it. And it's possible the shayl taka needs water. He doesn't want to turn down the shayl's request for a drink as well. So what's his eitz? So what's the pikchus? So he says like this, you first do the mashicha, and then I'll get you the water. What he means to say by that is, I'm not getting you a drink, calls man, you're not Moshech, calls man, you don't become a shayl. If you did not do the shayla yet, I'm getting the water for myself. I'm not being mishabed myself to get you the drink until after you do the shayla. I don't want it to be shayla or baila. If he were just to say, I don't want it to be shayla or baila, that will be masa mashakosa batayra. It won't necessarily work. But if he says, I'm not getting you the drink till after you do the shayla, by that he's totally avoiding a case of shayla or baila, because he's not working for the shayl until after the shayla took place. Till then he's getting the water for himself. So even if the shayl actually does mashicha as the mashal is going to get the water for him, it's still not considered that he's getting the water for the shayl. It's rather considered that the mashal is getting the water for himself. Thus, it's not going to be a shayl or a bailam, even if the shayl did mashicha as the mashal is getting the water. What the mashal gives the water to the shayl afterwards, that's already after the shayla. It wasn't that he was mishabed himself to do this malacha for the shayl, b'shas the shayla, and therefore it's not going to be considered shayla b'bailam. Now, getting back to the Gemara continues, Amarava makridardiki, the malabed in town, shasla, the one who plans for the people in town, tavcha, the shaychit, v'omna, the one who draws blood, the town's barber, he's considered as working for all the people in town, b'idan avidatayu, when they work. During the time that they work, they're considered bolavimu, that they're working for the townspeople. And therefore, if somebody were to borrow from any of those aforementioned city workers, it would be considered shayla b'bailam, as they're considered bolavimu while they're doing work for the townspeople. So Tysus on the Sadek Dal and Aleph in the beginning of the Perek asks Akasha, from this Gemara, it's clearly mashma, that it's only considered bolavimu. Bidna vidatayo, as the Gemara says. At the time that they're working. Smash when they're not working, it's takanaka to be considered shayla b'bailam, asks Taisvis, the Gemara in the beginning of the Parakas, Mavur, that even para b'mashicha b'bailam b'amira, as long as the b'bailam say that they're going to do malacha for the shayl, that itself is considered b'alavimoy. Why over here Do we say only midin of day when they're working? It's mashma if they're just committed to do work, but they're not actually working. It's not going to be considered shaylo b'baylim. In the beginning of the parak, it's mavur. You don't think of a commitment to work. That too creates a situation of shaylo b'baylim. So Taisus answers in the beginning of the parak that we only say b'baylim b'amira is considered shaylo b'baylim. If he said he's going to work, that's already considered shaylo b'baylim. Only when he said he's going to work and he's preparing himself to do malacha for the shayl. He says, I'll be happy to get you, let's say, a drink of water. And he starts going towards the faucet to get water. He's being Isaac, he's preparing himself for the malacha. But if he just says he's going to, but he's not doing anything in preparation of the work he's going to do for the shayl, that will not be considered shayla b'baylam. And our Gemara, it says it's only shayla b'baylam bidin avidutayu when they're doing the actual work, that means that they're not preparing themselves to do the work. More than that, the Ravid says, to answer this kasha, that when the Gemara says, Bidin David Tayu, it's considered Shailah B'Bailam, doesn't mean they're actually doing malacha. They don't have to be physically doing something. As long as they're sitting around the office, waiting for anybody to come in to ask them to do malacha, the tabuch or the uman is waiting for somebody to come. They have office hours from 9 to 5. Even if at 3 in the afternoon, nobody's asking them to do any malacha, but since they're sitting there waiting for the next person to knock on the door and ask them to do malacha, and they'll do that, they'll do the malacha they're asked to do, that itself is considered their bidin avidutayu, it's their working hours, it's the time that they're meshubah to work for the townspeople, and that they're ready and waiting to do malacha for the townspeople upon request, that itself is considered bidin avidutayu. Now, like we said, that's the Ravid. However, the other Rishayim disagree. In fact, the Rambam holds that if, let's say, the Uman or the Mikri Dardiki of the townspeople lend something to Reuven, the only way it'll be considered Shmira B'Bailam is if he's actually working for Reuven at that point. If he's working for a different member of the town, and certainly if he's not doing anything, it's not going to be considered Shmira B'Bailam, even though he's Meshubah to Reuven as well. Now, the Nesivus asks Akasha on this Rambam, why does the Rambam understand that unless the Shasla, or the Mikra Dardiki, is actually working for Reuven in particular, if Reuven borrows something from him, it won't be considered Shiloh or Bailam. It has to be that he's actually working for Reuven at that point of Shiloh. Why do we say that that's Pashat, if the husband borrows something from his wife, that it's considered Shiloh or Bailam, even at the point where she's not doing any work for him? Simply because she's meshubah to do work for him. That's enough to make a shayla b'baylam. Likewise, the halacha is a shutif who lent something to his other shutif. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are shutfim. Reuven lent something to Shimon. The halacha is considered shmira b'baylam because Reuven is meshubah to do work for Shimon regarding the shutfis. Even though at the point of shayla, Reuven wasn't doing anything for the shutfis. Nevertheless, since he's meshubah to do things for the shutfis, that's enough to make him a Balavima. If that's the case, why does the Rambam require that the Shasla and the Mikra Dardiki and the Tavcha, the people who work for the townspeople, have to be in the employ to be working for the particular borrower? As long as it's Meshubah to do the borrower's work, even though he's not doing it at that point, L'chayr, it should be Shmir B'Bailam. So the Nesivus answers that there's a basic fundamental difference between the workers for the townspeople and between a husband or a Shutif. In the case of a shutif or a husband, it's very clear who the spouse or the shutif is meshubah to. Reuven is meshubah to Shimon, his shutif. There's no question about who. The wife is meshubah to her husband. There's no question who she's meshubah to. It's very clearly delineated. However, by the townspeople, it's not certain who in particular the tavcha or the uman or the shasla is meshubah to at that point. He's meshubah to all the townspeople. When he's working for Reuven, he's not meshubah to Shimon. When he's working for his vulan, he's not meshubah to Yisachar. He's meshubah to the person that asks him, that requests from him to do work. Therefore, unless he's working for Reuven, we cannot say that the shasla is meshubah to Reuven. He's meshubah to one of the townspeople, definitely. We just don't know who. Something comparable to the idea of Breira. Therefore, the Rambam says, unless he's actually in the employ of Reuven at that point, the shasla will not be considered Baal of Imai if Reuven borrows from him, as he's takanat meshubah to Reuven at that point. He's meshubah to whoever he's working for. However, the Ravid disagrees because the Ravid holds when the Shasta is working for Zvulun. In fact, he's really working for Reuven as well. Because what's going on is, since Zvulun came first, he's working for Zvulun, but he's really freeing up his time to be able to get to Reuven's work. Therefore, it's considered that it's Ba'al of Imai, even when he's in fact working for a different member of the town. And, of course, if he's not doing anything for anybody, just sitting in the office waiting for a request, that, for certain, is going to be considered Ba'al of Imai, because he's Meshubed to do what Reuven asks him upon request. Therefore, he is comparable to the case of Shutif, or a woman towards her husband. Now, getting back to the Gemara brings a dialogue between Reuven and his Talmidim regarding if a Talmud borrows from a Rebbe or a Rebbe borrows from a Talmud, is it considered Ba'al of Imai? So the Gemara has a rule that if the Rebbe can change what they're learning, then it's considered a Talmidim are Meshubet to him, and if they lend him something, it's Ba'al of Imai. The Rebbe, who's a Shayel, is also having the Talmidim in his employ because they're Meshubet to listen to him. It's a service to the Rebbe. If the Rebbe cannot change what they're learning, if the Talmidim could change it, so therefore, the Rebbe is Meshubet to the Talmidim, he's working for them, and therefore, if he lends something to his Talmud, the Rebbe will be considered Ba'al of Imai, and the Talmud will be Potter al Shaila B'Bailam. Now, the case the Gemara uses, where the Rebbe cannot change the Masechta, he cannot change the Limud, therefore he's considered he's working for the Talmidim, that's a case of Yayma the Kala. When they taught Hilchas HaRegel, the Halachas of each particular Yom Tov, they have to teach the halachas of that Yom Tov. That's a general rule, and the Rebbe cannot change that. So, therefore, it's considered that he's working for them. Now, l'chayr, they can't change it either. So if that's the case, why is it considered that he's working for them any more than they're working for him? The halacha is, the Rosh writes, the Torah writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if neither the Talmidim nor the Rebbe can change the Masech, then neither is considered Ba'al of Imai with the other. So if that's the case, why by Yomi Dekala, where the Rebbe has to teach Hilchas HaRegel to the Talmidim, is it considered that he's Ba'al of Imai with the Talmidim? L'chayra, they're the same Ba'al of Imai, they're Meshubet to him, they can't change it either. So therefore, neither one's Ba'al of Imai. Why is Halacha that by Yomi Dekala, do we say the Rebbe is Shol to the Talmidim and it's Ba'al of Imai if he lends something to his Talmidim? So the Mekar Chaim, the Nesivus, asks this Kasha Hilchas Pesach, and he answers that, of course, although the Talmidim can't change the Limud, the halacha of Yomi Dekala, the Rebbe's Meshubet to the Talmidim, is not really Legabe teaching them, as it would seem to be Mashma from Rashi. Rather, it's Legabe, if they ask him Shailos Behilchas HaPesach or Behilchas HaChag, the Rebbe is Meshubet to answer those questions, whereas he's not Meshabet them to ask questions on Hilchas HaRegel. He has to answer their questions, Legabe, the halachas of the Mayid, but they are not Meshubet to him to ask him such questions, therefore it's considered that he's Meshubet to them and they're not Meshubet to him. But Anachrami, if it's Lagabi saying a Shir teaching things they can't change and he can't change what they're learning, in such a case, it's not going to be Ba'al of Imai in either direction. Actually, once was asked by a Rebbe who sent his Talmud out from class with a urn to heat up water so the Rebbe could have a coffee. The Talmud actually was peshaya with this urn. He filled it up with water, but he put it in a place where it got broken. It got destroyed. And the question was, does the Talmud have to pay the Rebbe? The Talmud is peshaya. L'chayra, he should have to pay for being negligent, for putting it on the floor where it was kicked around and broken. The shaila is, do we say it's Ba'al of Imai that the Rebbe is teaching the Talmud? Mamela, it's considered that b'shas, the Talmud got the pikodin. It's Ba'al of Imai. The Rebbe is working for the Talmud, and therefore he should be Potter. So based on our Gemara, really it shouldn't be Ba'al of Imai, because definitely the Talmud cannot change what they're going to learn. It's possible the Rebbe could change it. If that's what happened in that class, the Rebbe could change it. It definitely will be Ba'al of Imai towards the Rebbe, that if the Talmud lends something to the Rebbe, it's Ba'al of Imai, because the Talmud is Meshubet to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is not Meshubet to the Talmud, because the Talmud cannot switch what they're learning. And even in the event where neither can switch it, which is generally the situation in schools, that neither the Rebbe nor the Talmud can change what Masechta they're learning. It could be the Rebbe can change which staff they're learning. But definitely the Talmud cannot change what they're going to learn. So therefore, L'chaira, it won't be that the Rebbe is considered in the employ of the Talmud. It won't be Ba'al of Imai. However, that's a mistake. The Nesivus, in the Sefer Mekar Chaim and Hilchas Pesach, in Siman Tav Chav Tes, clearly writes that the halacha of, that it's Ba'al of Imai if the Rebbe can change what they're learning and the Talmud can't, or vice versa, if the Talmud could change what they're learning and the Rebbe can't, that's the one who can change it is considered that the other one's in his employ. That's only in a case where the Rebbe's teaching b'chinam, he's doing a l'shem mitzvah. So if he's teaching to do, only in order to do the mitzvah of teaching Torah, so in such a case, the Talmidim are meshubah to him because everybody's doing a l'shem mitzvah, both the Rebbe and the Talmidim. The Rebbe wants to teach Torah, the Talmidim want to learn Torah. So since the Rebbe can choose what they're going to learn, they are considered shol to him, they're working in his employ. And likewise, if they can just change what they're learning, and the Rebbe has to go along, so in Mela, the Rebbe is considered in their employ. However, if the Rebbe is being paid, it doesn't matter, even if the Talmidim cannot change what they're learning. But since the Rebbe is being paid, there's no question, he's definitely considered in their employ, and therefore, since this Talmud was in the yeshiva, was in a high school where the Rebbe's getting paid to teach this boy, Mamela, there's no question, even if the Rebbe can change what they're learning and the Talmud, the student cannot, still it's going to be considered that the Rebbe is in the employ of the Talmud, and therefore, when the Rebbe gave this urn to the Talmud to heat up water for him, and he has Aloha Hashem Rechina, and the Talmud was Peshe with it, nevertheless, since the Rebbe is being paid to teach this Talmud, Mamela, it's considered a Bolivima, the Rebbe is in the employ of the Talmud, and therefore it's considered Shmir Mabailam, and the Talmud therefore is Pater. Now, getting back to the Gemara before the Mishnah brings a story. Meremer Bar Hanina rented out his mules to somebody. He went out to help them load up the mules with what they were putting on the packages, and Lamaisa, the renters, were Pesheya, and the animal died. So Rava was Mechayiv them. So the Rabbanan said, what do you mean? It was Pesheya Bebailim. Remember Bar Hanina helped them. He was working for them, was in their employ when they actually made the Schiris, when they made the Kenyan to rent the animals. So he held Pesheya Bebailim as Potter. Why would Rava Mechayiv them? Rava Taka felt embarrassed. He felt very uncomfortable. He thought he made a mistake. And in the end, it was proven that Igloy Milsad Lamesar Tuna Hudanafak. Really, when he went out, it wasn't actually to help them. He wanted to make sure they're not going to overload the animal. It wasn't to help them. It wasn't for their favor. It was for his favor, and therefore it wasn't considered Shmir B'Bailim, and therefore they were Chayiv. Now, there's a machlekes that the Shulchan Aruch brings in Simen Shin Mem Vov, Sif Dalet. If the halach of Shmir B'Bailim is only if the Shail asked the Mashal to come help him? Or is it even if the Mashal did it on his own volition? He offered to do the help by himself. The Mordechai paskins that it's only if the Shail asked the Mashal, and he's medayik from the Gemara. We read earlier that somebody wants to be potter al Shmir Bailam should say, Ashki an Mayi, should ask the Mashal, give me to drink. So the Mordechai says, you see that he has to ask for it. He brings other Gemaras as well in previous Prakim, where the case of Shiloh Bailam is where the Shail actually asked the Mashal. If the Mashal offered the help by himself, it won't be considered Shiloh Bailam. However, the Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah Paskin, not like that. They Paskin that even if the Mashal offered the help by himself, it's going to be considered Shiloh Bailam. And the Goyin actually proves it from the Gemara that we just read. The Gemara says, Gloy Milsa L'meis Ratuna, that he actually came out to check that they don't overload the behemoth. That means it took about the same story that they thought till then was in order to help the Seichrim, and now they found out that it was in order to make sure that the animal doesn't get damaged. Since we're talking about the same case, obviously it's talking about that the masker went out by himself. We just don't know what his intention was. Because if it's talking about that the Seichr actually asked the masker to come out, we can't say that he went out Lemeser Tuna to make sure they don't put on too much. He went out at the request of the Seichr. Elamat's talking about he didn't go out at the request of the Seichr. He went out on his own volition. The Gemara originally thought that he went out in order to help the Seichr, and the Gemara's maskana was that he came out to make sure for his own good that the animal doesn't get damaged. So you see, alcohol upon him, it could be considered Shmira B'Bailim without the Seichr actually requesting it expressly, as we see in our Gemara. It wasn't requested expressly, and in the Havamina, the Gemara thought it would be considered Shmira B'Bailim. Until the Gemara answered, no, it was L'Meser Tuna. But without that, it would be considered Shmir B'Bailim, even though the Seichr did not request the help of the masker. Now, let's get back to the Gemara. Let's see the Mishnah. Hashayel Sapora, somebody who borrowed a para. The Mishnah is going to say different cases where it's a suffix whether the Shayel is Chayiv. One case is he borrowed it for half a day and rented it for half a day. Altasaycher is potter from Einzen, Altasheil is Chayim and Einzen. We don't know when it died. Or he borrowed it today as a shayel and Vesachel Machar for the next day he rented it. We don't know at what point it was Anas, at what point it died. Sachrachas, Vesholachas, he rented one and borrowed one, and one of them died. So the Mishnah says, the Mashal says that in the first case, it died at the time it was Shoal, and the day that it was Shoal, the behemoth that was Shoal, the borrowed behemoth is the one that died, and therefore he's Chayiv, and the Seicher slash Shoal says he doesn't know. The Loch is in such a case is that the Shoal slash Seicher is Chayiv. If the Seicher says he knows that the animal that died was the one that was rented, it was the day that it was rented, it was the part of the day that it was rented, in such a case, if the Mashal slash Masker says he doesn't know, he's potter. If they both are saying Bari, the Shail says he knows he's potter, the Mashal says he knows he's Chayiv, the halacha is that the Shail slash Seicher has to swear, like what he says is true, that it's the animal that was rented is the one that died, or it died during the day that it was rented, or it died during the hour that it was rented, and he'll eat potter. In a case where they both say they don't know, the Shail says he doesn't know if it was this rented animal or the borrowed animal that dies, and the Masker says likewise he doesn't know, the halacha is yachloiku. The Mishnah is going according to some because the moment of multiple selfic is cholken. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks a kasha on the ratio. Why do we say that where the Mashal slash Masker says he knows for sure the Shail slash Seicher is Chayiv and the Seicher slash Shail says he doesn't know the halacha is Chayiv? The Chayiv it's a raya that we say that Bari Vashem and Bari Yodif. It's Machlaikis, Reb Nachman, and Reb Yechan against Reb Hun and Reb Yehuda. Reb Hun and Reb Yehuda say Bari Vashem and Bari Yodif and the Nitva is Chayiv. Reb Nachman and Reb Yechan say that Bari Vashem alav Bari Yodif and his potter. The Chayiv in our Mishnah that says clearly that Bari Vashem Bari Yodif. So the Gemara answers, it's talking about a special case where there was an Esek Shvua Bnei and there was a case of Gilgul Shvua, and that's why the Mishnah says he's Chayiv. But otherwise, just a direct tviya, a classic case where the Mashal tells the Shoyal, I know you're Chayiv, and the Shoyal says, I don't know. Of course, Allah, according to him, that will be that he'd be Potter. Ask Taisus Akasha, why does the Gemara have to say, it's talking about there's an Esek Shvua Beinein? It's talking about a special case where there's Gilgul Shvua, but otherwise, the Mishnah would, of course, say, even in the Reisha, where the Mashal is a Bari and the Shoyal is a Shema, he would be Potter without this Esek Shvua. Frek Taisus, why do we have to come on to the Esek Shvua? Without a case of Gilgul Shvua that he has to swear for another reason. He is going to have to swear that the animal was Mesa Kadarka. How do we know it died as an Inus? Maybe he killed it. Maybe there was a Pshia. How do we know what happened? Maybe it was Gneva Veda. The Mashal can force the Shail to swear that it was Mesa Kadarka, that it's a din of Inus. Once you give Machayev the Shail to swear for one thing that it was Mesa Kadarka, it can be Megalgal on him the Shvua that it was the one that was rented that died and not the Shoal one. Since he has to swear one Shvua and the Mashal can be Megalgal on him another Shvua, so it's going to be a case of Gilgul Shvua. And on the second Shvua, the Seicher saying he doesn't know. He doesn't know if it was the Sochor Mesa or the Shoal Mesa. He doesn't know if it was the day that it was borrowed or the day that it was rented. In such a case, he has to swear. And he can't because he doesn't know. So he'll have to pay anyways. Why do we have to come onto the case of Esek Shvua Beinein? And Tais really asks this kash on the other two cases in the Mishnah also. In the case where the Mashal is a Shema and the Shail is a Bari, the Mishnah says that he's Potter. Why do we say he's Potter? Let the Mashal force the Shail to swear that's Kedarka Mesa, that Lefachas, he could say, swear to me he was an Einus. Once he could make him swear that, through Gilgul Shvua, he could make him swear that it was the one that was Sachar that was Mesa, not the Shoal, or it died on the day of the rental, not on the day of the borrowing. Now, true, the Mashal is a Shema, he doesn't know that it died on the day that it was Shoal, or the hour that it was Shoal, or the behemoth that was Shula. Nevertheless, by Gilgul, a person can be Megalgul Shvua even in the case of a Shema, even if he's not sure. So why does the Mishnah say in the case of the Mashal being Shema and the Shail being Bari that he's Potter, why is he Potter entirely? Why does he get off the hook scot-free? L'chaira, he should have to at least swear that it was the one that was rented that died.
Likewise, Tosfos asks on the Seifa of the Mishnah. When both the Mashal and the Shail say, Eini Yedea, the Halachas Yachloiku, why don't we say, Mitech Sheni Yechol Lishovim, Mishalim? He has to swear that it was Kedarka Mesa. That's clear, that every person with Tainus Hainus has to swear that. Once he has to swear that, the Mashal can force that he swear that it was the Shura Mesa through Gilgul Shul, even though he's a Shema. And since the Shail is Eini Yedea, he doesn't know, Mimela, it's Mitech Sheni Yechol Lishovim, he can't swear Mishalim, he's going to have to pay. So Tosfos answers first with a major chiddush that we don't say Gilgul Shvua only where the Nitva is Tainin Bari. When the Shoyel slash Seicher says for sure it was Schur Mesa, then we can Megalgul Shvua onto him from somewhere else that he has to swear that it was Schur Mesa, not Shul Mesa. However, if he's not sure, there's no halacha of Gilgul Shvua. You can't force somebody to swear a Shema through Gilgul Shvua because we learn Gilgul Shvua from Saita. And by Saita, she says clear that she wasn't Tmeya, that she's Tar. So, only in a comparable case where the Nitva is saying a Bari, then we can make Gilgul Shvua on him. Otherwise, there's no Gilgul Shvua. However, Tosfos continues to ask on that Teretz. In the middle case where the Mashal slash Masker says he doesn't know whether it's the borrowed animal or the rented animal, and the Shoyel slash Seicher says Bari, that he knows it's Schur Mesa, why over there aren't we Galgal Shvua on him? Why does the Mishnah say Potter? There he's tithing Bari, just like by a Saita. There will Chayush be able to say Gilgal. So Tosfos answers, it's talking about that the Mashal slash Masker believes him that it's Kedarka Mesa. Ramele never had to swear that Kedarka Mesa, so it's not Shaykh to Gilgal that it's the Schur Mesa. If he didn't believe him, so then Itak would have to swear Schur Mesa, and it wouldn't just be Potter without anything. Tosfos says it's Mestaber that he believes him that it was Mesa Kedarka. Since he says clearly he knows for certain that it was Schura Mesa, so the Mashal tends to believe him. He seems to know what he's talking about. He's saying clearly Schura Mesa, so when he says it was Mesa Kedarka, it's a Dover Mestaber. It's something that makes sense to say why the Mishnah would assume that it's talking about a case where the Masker slash Mashal believed him. Ruki Yosef likewise answers, it's talking about that it died in front of the Mashal, or in front of Edim, who know that it was Mesa Kedarka, and therefore there's no Shvua that it was Mesa Kedarka, and that's why he can't be Megal on him to swear that it was a Shura that died. Now Tosfos asks on what he answered before. Tosfos said that there's no Gilgul when the Nitva is Tining Shema, only when he's Tainas Bari, asks Tosfos, always the Nitva will have a migu then, when he says a Tainas Bari that he's Potter, and we want him to Megalgul Shvua on him, we should believe him with a migu. He could have said, I don't know, and in such a case, he'd be Potter, and he wouldn't have to swear because there's no Gilgul Shvua on Hashemah. Now that he said Bari, let him have a migu, believe him that he's Potter, because if he was lying, he'd have a better lie. He'd be able to say Shema to be Potter. So Tosfos' answer is people don't like to make themselves into Shemas on their own volition because he looks bad, he looks like he's lying, a person says, I don't know, there's something iffy about it, therefore he'd prefer to stay as a Bari, and therefore there's no migu to say he would say Shema. I'll call upon him. To summarize so far, Tosfos asks Akasha, why in the Reisha don't we say that there's a classic case of Gilgul Shvua, we'll say it in the Seifa as well, when the Mashal is timing Bari, or he's tining Shema. He doesn't know if the animal that died is a Socher, and the Shoyel definitely is tining Shema, either against the Mashal's Bari or even against the Mashal's Shema. In both cases, since the Shoyel is going to have to swear that it was Mesa Kedarka, we should be able to Megalga on him the Shvua that it was Schura Mesa. And since he doesn't know, we'll say Metech Sheni Chalishav Mishalim. Since he has to swear and he can't swear, he's going to have to pay. So, Tosfos answers. And in the case where the Nitva says Shema, there's no halacha Gilgul Shvua, just like by Saita, it's talking about that the Saita said Bari that she wasn't Mazana, and we learn from Saita the whole Indian of Gilgul Shvua, therefore, in a case where the Nitva is saying Shema, there's no Gilgul Shvua. And again, in the case of the middle of the Mishnah, Mitziyasa, where the Mashal is saying Shema, and the Shail is saying Bari that it was Surah Mesa, in that case, Tosfos understands easily, it's talking about that the Mashal believes him. It's Mestaber like that, then it was Kedarka Mesa, so therefore there's not going to be any Gilgul Shvua. Tosfos afterwards has another Teretz Also, a chiddush in Hilchos Gilgul, that we only say Gilgul Shvua when the Teiveya is a Shema. Over here, we're talking about the Metziyasa, where the Mashal is a Shema and the Shail is a Bari. True, we say Gilgul Shvua even when the Teiveya is a Shema, but that's only when it's for Glayim Ladover, when it seems logical to assume that the Tviya is correct. Since he was Mekanilo, and she still was Nistar, there's reason to believe, to suspect, that she was Mizan also Be'erson. But in a case where there's no raglaim ladover, there's no reason to be chayshish. Therefore, in a tiny shemo stam without any raglaim ladover, we're not going to say that the nitbasta swear on a tiny shemo as well. That's Taisus. However, the Rosh says a tremendous chiddush in Hilchos Shvuos that he builds from Taisus kasha. Again, Taisus asked, why don't we say since he has to swear anyways that it was Kedarka Meisel, let's be Megalgol on him the Shua, that it was the Schura Meis, and since he doesn't know in the case of the Reisha and the Seifa, let's say Mitoich Sheini Yochel Shavim Mishalim. So the Rosh answers, we don't say the rule of Mitoich Sheini Yochel Shavim Mishalim only by the Iker Shua, by the first Shua that the Teveya forces the Nitva to swear. However, in a case where it's a secondary shvuah, it's a shvuah that comes through Gilgul shvuah, we do not say if he cannot swear, then we take shenir chalishav mishalim. So therefore, even if we can mechayiv the shayil to swear that schura meisa through Gilgul shvuah, since he has to swear anyways, that it was kedarka meisa. However, if the seicher is going to say, I don't know which one died, we don't say, since he has to swear Shura Mason, he can't swear, let's say, Mitech Shein Chalashov and Mishalim, we don't say that by a Shvua that comes about through Gilgul, only by Iker Shvua. Clearly, though, Taisus does not hold of that. Let's talk a big machlagus for Shainim, it's bullshit, this is in Shulchan Aruch, and Chesha Mishpat 7-9, hey? And Lechur, this machlagus is really totally in the famous Chakira, how do we define, how are we magder the din of Mitech Shein Chalashov and Mishalim? We can explain it in two ifanim. The halacha is, when somebody has to swear and he cannot swear, so memela, he's going to have to pay. What's pshat in that? So the first mahalach to explain this is that, like any person who doesn't swear, whether he can't swear, he doesn't know what to say, he doesn't know, or he just doesn't want to swear, it's all the same halacha. A person's mechayev to swear. If he doesn't swear, he has to pay. Or no. It could be when a person cannot swear, it's not that he's chayv ashvua. The Torah is not mechayv to do something that he can't do. Rather, it's a chiyuv mamon. The Torah says, shvua s'shem tiyah ben shneim. Darshan from that, the din of mitech shenei chalashav and mishalim, the Gemara in Shvuas does. So it's a sakosiv. When he has to swear and he can't swear, so it's a chiyuv tashlum, it's not a chiyuv shvua at all. Now, there's a well-known Rosh in the beginning of Bab Metzia. The Rosh says that even if you hold Eidim Sayyeh can patr somebody from a Shvuah, if somebody has to swear and he has an aid that testifies in his favor, so he's going to be patr from swearing, just like an Eid Echad can mechayiv a Shvuah, the same way an Eid Echad could patr from a Shvuah, still, if it's a case of Mutech Sheni Yechol Shav Mishalim, he's mechayiv to swear, but he doesn't know what to say, Mimeila, it's Eino Yechol Shav, the halacha is he has to swear. If an Eid Echad helps over there, that already would be considered an Eid Echad being made on Mamon. And therefore, he's not going to be Naman. That's why the case of Shemer Shemasa L'Shemer in the third parak, we don't say that the other Shemer is Neman to be made to help the first Shemer in his Chiyuv towards the Mafkid, because since the first Shemer doesn't know what happened to the animal, so in Mela, it's a case of Mutech Shani Chalashav and Mishalim. So if a Eidim say it helps him, the patron from the Shvuah is actually being made on Mamon, he's not being made on a Shvuah. And the Aloha is an Eid Echon can only be made regarding a Shvuah, not regarding Mamon. Now, Rabbi Chanan and Kevitz Shurim Chelik Basim and Zion asks, how do you explain this Rosh? If you're telling me that when an aid is being made in the case of Mitoch Shein Chalashav and Mishalim, that it's aid is on Mamon, then likewise, how does an aid echad ever be Machayev? A Shua that brings about Mitoch Shein Chalashav and Mishalim. He's then being made on Mamon. So Rabbi Chanan explains that the Rosh really holds the gather of Mitoch Shein Chalashav and Mishalim is the second mahalach that we mentioned, that it's a special gzeiras hakosav. It's not that he's mechuyev shvua, and since he doesn't swear, like any person doesn't swear, he has to pay. You can either swear or pay. The Rosh holds that in the case of mitech shein chalashav mishalim, he really is chayev mamon. That's the gedra of the chiyuv. He's not chayev shvua. The Torah is not chayev shvua that he can't swear. Rather, he's chayev mamon.
Therefore, the Eidus Mesayeh that comes to patter him is actually pattering him from a Chiyuv Mamon.
True, when it comes to starting the Chiyuv of a Shvuah that brings about Mitoich, that's already considered an Eidus on the Shvuah. If afterwards it evolves to a Mitoich Shein Echol Shem HaMashalem, that's not considered that the Eid was made on a Chiyuv Mamon. It just evolved to a Chiyuv Mamon. However, when there's already a Chiyuv Mamon of Mitoich to testify to patter, the Nitva will be considered Eidus on Mamon. Al Kolpanim, you see that the Rosh's understanding in Mitoich is not that it's a regular Chiyuv Shvuah. It's a Chiyuv Mamon. And therefore, an Eid Echad can't patter. According to this understanding in the Rosh, Rabbi Chanan explains that's really touch of the Rosh by us as well. The Rosh says the reason in our Mishnah we don't say that since the Shoyel has to swear it was Mesa Kedarka, so let's already be Megalgal on him the Shua that it was Schura Mesa. And since he can't swear, he doesn't know. So let's say Metech Shin Chalashal Meshalim. The Rosh asked that Kasha also in the Reisha's case, where the Mashal says Shula Mesa, and the Shoyel says Ein Yedeh, where the Mishnah says Chayev only because Yesh Eisek Shua Benin. Without that, let's say you should be Chayev Al Tzagilgul and make Mitech Shein Chol Shav Meshalim. Also in the Sefer, where they both say Ein Yedeh, say through the Gilgul Shua, we say Adina Mitech Shein Chol Shav Meshalim. So the Rosh answered, we don't say Mitech Shein Chol Shav Meshalim in a case of Gilgul. According to the Rosh, says Rabbi Chanan, it's very much Lashitasi, it works out beautifully. The Rosh holds the din of Mitech Shein Chashav Meshalem is not a Chiyuv Shvuah, because he's supposed to swear, and he doesn't swear, so he has to pay, like any case of a Shvuah. Rather, there's no Chiyuv Shvuah by a case of Mitech where he can't swear. Rather, it's a Chiyuv Mamon. Therefore, we could say that Loch of Gilgul Shvuah was only Mechayiv, a din that he has to swear. But in a case where it's not a Chiyuv Shvuah, rather it's a Chiyuv Mamon, there's no such a Loch of Gilgul Shvuah. Gilgul Shvuah wasn't Nischadish to Mechayiv a Chiyuv Mamon. If Mitech Shein Echol Shav Meshalim is a Chiyuv Mamon, not a Chiyuv Shvuah, you cannot extrapolate that from the regular halach of Gilgul Shvuah, where the Torah was just Mechadesh, that you have to make a Shvuah, not the Mechayiv Mamon. So since the Rosh understands the Gedder of Mitech is it's a Chiyuv Mamon, the halach of Gilgul can never bring about this new Chiyuv of Mitech Shein Echol Shav Meshalim. Gilgul Shvuah mostly Mechayiv a Shvuah, can't be Mechayiv Mamon. So the Rosh L'shitasa in the beginning of the Masechta, that says it's a Chiyuv Mamon, makes very good sense why we're not going to say that Gilgul can bring about a Mitoich. Mitoich is a Mamonistic Chiyuv that cannot be brought about through Gilgul. However, the Rishonim that argue, Tysus over here, argues on the Rosh, the Ramban argues on the Rosh, they hold that there is the Musag of Mitoich Shein Echol Shav Meshalem, even in the case of Gilgul Shvuah, where the Shvuah came about only through a Chiyuv Gilgul, because they learned that the Mitoich is nothing special, it's not Xeris HaKosuv, that's Mechayiv Mamon. Rather, it's a regular halacha. He has to swear. If he doesn't swear, he's going to pay. That's the halacha. A person has an option either to swear or to pay. So Gilgul Shvuah is not going to be any different. What's the difference if he has to swear because it's a regular case of a Chiyuv Shvuah or it's a case of Chiyuv Shvuah through Gilgul? It'll have the same halacha that if he doesn't swear, he's going to have to pay. There's actually another machlokes Rabbi Chanan is toila in this machlokes as well. The machlokes Rishonim, what happens if someone was Chiyuv Shvuah through Mitoich? And there's another taina that the Teveah is Teveah from the Nitva. He wants to make through Gilgul. Can you make on a Shvuah that there was a Mitech Shein Echol Shav Meshalem, can you use that Shvuah as a springboard to be Megalgul a different Shvuah? According to the understanding that Mitech Shein Echol Shav Meshalem is a Mamonistic Chiyuv, you can't use such a Chiyuv Shvuah to be Megalgul to another Shvuah. You can't magalgal from Chiyuv Mamon to Chiyuv Shvuah. If you learn the din of Mitech Shein Echol Shav Meshalem is just a regular Chiyuv Shvuah, and since he's not swearing, he has to pay, whether he can swear and he decides not to, or he can't swear because he doesn't know, so it's a regular Chiyuv Shvuah. You can magalgal in it from this Shvuah to another Shvuah. But as we said, if it's a Chiyuv Mamon, you can't be magalgal from a Chiyuv Mamon to a Chiyuv Shvuah. Meiler Bachonim says these two machlaikasin that we mentioned, machlaikas over here, the Rosh and Taisvis, as to whether if there's a Gilgul Shvuah that's Mechayiv Shvuah that he can't swear, is there a din Mitoich? We said it's totally in the getter of Mitoich Shein Echol Shav Meshalem. If it's a moment, it's like a Chiyuv, we don't say a Chiyuv of Mitoich through Gilgul. If it's a regular classic Chiyuv Shvuah that he doesn't swear, he has to pay, so then it makes no difference whether the Shvuah came about through a regular Chiyuv Shvuah or through a Gilgul. That same Achleikes will be the bedrock, the understanding of the other machlokes we mentioned, as to whether if somebody is chayiv shua and he couldn't swear, and it was a case of mitech sheinu yochel lishov mishalim, that he had to pay, could you megalgal from that shua that there was mitech onto mechayiv another shua? If you hold mitech is a chiyuv moment, so you can't be megalgal to another shua. That's the way the Rush would explain. If you hold the chiyuv mitech is just a regular chiyuv shua, so you can megalgal from a shua that brought about a mitech to another shua as well, as it's just a regular case of chiyuv shua that he punked and swear. Whether he chose not to or whether he couldn't, it's all the same, and therefore you can megalgal from that shua onto another shua. Okay, now let's get back to the sugya. The Gemara we mentioned earlier asked a kasha on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman holds Rav Yishema Lav Bar Yodif, a person who's Tevea, his friend that he owes him money, and the Ritva says, I don't know that halacha, is that he can't be Maisi Mammon based on the Bar Yodif Tevea. So why in the Reisha do we say when the Mashal says Shulam Meisa and the Shail says Ein Yedeya, do we say that he's Chayiv? Why should he be Chayiv? At worst, it's Bar Yodif Hashem. So the Gemara answer is talking about that there's a Shvua that the Nitva, that the Shail has to swear as well, it's Yeshayisik Shvua Beinayin, and therefore he's Chayiv Alts Mitoich, Deni Yochel Yishav Meshalim. But otherwise, Ein Echanami would be Potter, it was just Bar Yodif Hashem alone, according to the Nachman, the Mishnah would Taka say Potter. Taisa asks a kasha on the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara says this is comparable to Rav Nachman's halacha that Bari Vishem and Bari Yodav, Manali Biyadcha. Reuven says, you owe me $100, and Shimon says, I don't know, it's possible, yeah, it's possible not. Halacha is Pater according to Rav Nachman. Frek Taisa says, our mission is not comparable to Rav Nachman's case at all. Our mission is comparable to a different case, to when a person says, Eni Yedem Praticha. Reuven says, I lent you $100 and you didn't pay me. And Shimon says, I don't remember. It could be I paid you, it could be not. In such a case, it's a Mefurish Mishnah Baba Kama that he's chayiv. If a person doesn't know if he paid back a loan, he's considered any day on praticha, and he's chayiv. The only time we say, Bari Vashem Alav Bari Yadif, and he can't take money away from his friend through his Tainas Bari against his friend's Tainas Shema, that's when it's any day on chayavti. If Shimon says, I don't know if I ever borrowed from you. But if he says, I know I borrowed from you, I just don't know if I paid you, that's called any adam praticha. I don't know if I paid you. The halacha is that he's going to be chayiv. So what our Gemara, l'chayra, is comparable to the case of the Mishnah Baba Kama, any adam praticha. He knows he borrowed a para. He doesn't know if the one that died was the shoal or the rented one. He knows the para that he borrowed died. He just doesn't know whether it died when it was a shoal or when it was a socher, when it was borrowed or rented. In such a case, the chayiv should be considered any yedeya in praticha. I don't know if I paid you back. It's not he doesn't know if he was ever chayiv. So ask Taisvis, what's the Gemara's kasha b'chal on Rav Nachman from the Mishnah? Rav Nachman would, of course, be made in the Mishnah's case where it's any yedeya in praticha. I don't know if I paid you back. I definitely borrowed. I just don't know if I did a pira. In such a case, Rav Nachman also says that he's going to be chayiv. What's the Gemara's kasha b'chal? So Taisus answers, even though the shayl is maida, that he got two parais, since Lamaisi is giving back one, it's considered as if he said, any day mashaltani. It's not a case of any day praticha, it's not, I don't know if I paid you back. Since he's giving one para back for sure, so the shayl is, the one that died, is that the borrowed one, or is that the rented one? He could say, any day mishayafti, I don't know if I was ever chayv, because I did a piroin on one already, and therefore the suffix is if the one that died is a shoal, the suffix is if it's a borrowed one, I don't know if I'm chayiv to you. And likewise, by one para, since he doesn't know if it died when it was rented or borrowed, Taisus says that would be considered any adem's chayavti as well.
Now it's not so clear why Taisus would say that's any adem's chayavti. Lamaisa, he got in his possession
this para as a shoal, and he doesn't know if he gave it back. If it died in the time that it was shol, if it died on the day that it was shol, he didn't do a piroin. Bishlam by two parois, it's possible he did the piroin
on the shol. That's enough. The kozman we have no echocha that there is an outstanding chayiv. You can consider this any day mis chayavti. It's also a chiddush, to be honest. It's not so pashar either. One could argue he got two parois, and since he doesn't know if the par that he got is a shol was returned, so it's any day praticha. Nevertheless, Taisus holds, since Lamaisa gave back one par, and it's possible that the par that died is the rented one, so Meila, it's any day in this chayafti.
As he's saying, I don't know if there's any chayiv b'chlal. I don't know if this par that died was the shul, so I don't know if I was ever in this chayiv to you. True, it's a chiddush, it's possible to learn differently, but Taisus learns like that, and many Rishonim
bring this as a starting teretz, that they differentiate between if it was two paras or one para, half a day shol, half a day sachar. But Taisus says that it makes no difference even if it was half a day shol, half a day sachar, or half one day sachar, one day shol. Taisus says there as well, since we don't know for sure it died when it was a shol, it's going to be considered any day in Nischayavti, which net lechayr is mamash apella. He got the behema as a shol. He doesn't know if he gave it back. Why would we call that any day in Nischayavti? He definitely was Nischayav. He borrowed the para. The question is, if it died when it was sachar, so mela, it's as if he paid, or it died when it was shol, and it's considered that he didn't pay. Why would that be considered any day in Nischayavti? Lechayr, that's a simple case of any day in Praticha. Taisus' teretz is quite hard to understand. There are chinim that talk about it. However, there are different teretzim in the Rishonim to answer Taisus' kasha. Why do we say that our Mishnah is comparable to the Machlaikas of Nachman and of Yehuda, whether we say Bar Yisham and Bar Yodif or Lav Bar Yodif, and so Rav from our Mishnah against Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman Lechayr should be made our Mishnah, because our Mishnah Lechayr is a case of any din praticha, not a case of any din schayavti. So the Mukayesiv answers that the Gemara's kasha is really from all the cases in the Mishnah, even from the case of where he borrowed it for a half a day and rented it for a half a day. The reason the Gemara understands that's a case of any idea in the Schayavti and any in Praticha is because what the Mishnah means to say when he said he rented it for a half a day and borrowed it for a half a day, we don't know which half a day was rented, which half a day was borrowed. It could be the first half a day was rented and the second half a day was borrowed. It could be he never became a Shayel. Since it's possible, he doesn't know when it died. If it died in the first half or the second half. Since it's possible it died early on, it never got to the point of Shiloh. It wasn't clearly said which day is the day of Shiloh, which day is the day of Schira. So therefore, since it's possible the first half a day or the first day was Schirus, not Shiloh, so he never became a Shiloh. So in Meila, it's a case of any day in Schayavti, it's not a case of any day in Pardicha, because we don't know for sure there was ever a Cheska Schiv. The Rashba really answers this as well. There's another Mahalach that advertises Kasha, the Raman's Mahalach. The Raman learns that this sugya is going according to Rav Papa in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and in Masechta Ksuba, Daf Lamed Daled. Rav Papa holds that a Shoyles Chayiv Ba'insim Mishas Shvuro Mesa, not Mishas Mashicha. There's a Machlaik Samiram. When does the Chayiv Ba'insim start? When is the Iker Chayiv on the shayla? Is it at the point of Mashiach when he starts the shayla? Or does it come about only when the oinus actually happens to the para that he borrowed? The nafkamina, let's say, is by Yisaimim. The father died, he left over a para that he borrowed, and the para was nanas. Now the Yisaimim had a right to use the para. The question is, do they have to pay for the para from the father's nechosim? If the shibud comes about b'shas Mashiach, so then the father was already in the schayiv. If the shibud comes bad only mishash shvuru mesa, so then the father was never in his chayim, and the yisayim were not chayim because they were yerush the schos of the father, but they were never yerush the achrayas. The papa holds the chayim comes bad only mishash shvuru mesa. Memela says the Ramban, our sugi over here is going according to Rav Papa, since the chayim achrayas is only mishash the oinus happens and not before that. Memela, until the animal died, according to Rav Papa, according to our sugi, which is going according to Rav Papa, there is no real achrayas on the shayl. Memela, at the point of the shvur mesa, at the point that the animal died, since we don't know if it was the shvur mesa or the shulam mesa, we don't know if it was the time that it was shol or the time that it was sachar, we don't know if it was the day of shchiras or the day of shayla, since we don't know if he was nischayv, memela, it's any day of nischayavti. The chiv only comes b'shas shvir and mesa. We don't know if he's taka chayv. In Meila, it's not a case of any day in Praticha. It's a case of any day in Schayavti, and therefore, the Gemara asks that if the Mishnah is Machayiv, L'chayr, it's a steer to Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says, when the Tevea says, you owe me, and the Nitva says, I don't know, Rav Nachman says he's potter. In our Mishnah, it says clearly that he's chayiv. Even though we don't know for certain there was ever any chiv, it's any day in Schayavti, because the chiv only comes b'shas shvir and mesa, and at that point, we don't know if it was Shaul or Sachar to say that he'd be Chayiv. Now, the Ksais in Simon Shindal Mem, Sivkot and Gimel, gives another Teres Taisus Kasha. Why does the Gemara understand that our Mishnah has to do with Rav Nachman? That's any idea in this Chayavti, L'chayra, it's more likely to compare this to a case of any day in Praticha, since he definitely took the Behemoth
as a shawl?
So the Ksais answer is based on a Rashba and Gittin, that whenever there's a real suffix in front of us, when there's a reglaim ledover that it was paid, we're not going to say the rule of any day of Pratikha is going to be chayiv. Rashba talks about a case where there are two edim that saw a maisa piroin from the borrower to the lender. They testify that it was a valid maisa piroin. The play was thrown in the proximity of the malva at a point where it's considered a piroin, while two other edim who were there say it wasn't a valid maisa piroin. So it comes out that halachas yachloiku, according to the Gemara and Gittin, ask the Rashba, why would we say yachloiku? Why don't we say that it's en yedeya and praticha? There's a cheskas chiyuv, and we don't know for sure if there was a piroin, chayiv should be chayiv, like every case of en yedeya and praticha. So the Rashba answers, we only say en yedeya and praticha is chayiv when there's lekker aglaim shaproi. There's no reason to say that he paid. Mecha teisa that he paid. Aval hocha, in the case where there's two edim that say it is a piroin, two edim say it's not, harei neilad suffix elefanecha, there's a suffix that is in front of you. And therefore, we don't say it's a regular case of any day in praticha. The rule of any day in praticha, according to the Rashba, is only when there's no reason to believe that it was a payment. However, if there's something that already creates a suffix by us, in such a case, we're going to say that there's no rule any day in praticha. So therefore, in our sugya, when he borrowed it for half a day and rented it for half a day, the suffix is lefarecha, there's a real suffix. It's not mecha teisi that he paid up. The suffix is to the shayil and to Besdin as well. There's a real suffix going on. Therefore, in such a case, we're not going to say it's a regular case of any day in praticha. Rather, it's any day in schayavti. And that's why the Gemara asks, l'chayav from the Mishnah Zariah against Rav Nachman, who holds Bar Vishamo is going to be Potter. And parenthetically, the Ksaisa's Teretz is not so Pashut, because it's not really a comparison to the case in Gittin. Over there, there's a real suffix. It's trade, it's a suffix to everybody. Ashkenaz over here, where the Mashal says he knows that the Shoal was the one that died, or it died in the time that it was Shoal, he's saying it as a Bari. When the Mashal says he doesn't know, that's L'chair not going to create a suffix. That's that he doesn't know, L'chair is not comparable to a case where there's a tray of tray. Nevertheless, Ksais understands that it is considered a reglaim to a piroin. It's possible there's a piroin because there's an inherent suffix, and that's enough to make it that we're not going to say it's a case of any day in praticha. But look here, the comparison is still tzarech bir. Now, one thing we see from this Rashba and the way the Ksais is learning, that any day in praticha is not a halacha that if there's a cheskas chiyuv, can't be mitzvah from the chazaka until it can prove otherwise. Because if that were the case, what do I care if there's a suffix lefanecha? L'maisa, there's a cheskas chiyuv that's mechayiv him to pay. It's mochach that the ksais understands the gedder of any day in praticha is more that ein suffix mitzvah b'dei vaday. If there's a cheskas chiyuv, and he doesn't know if he paid up, why should I believe there's any piroin at all? Mechataisi, why would I think anything changed? If there's a reason to think something changed, if there is already a suffix lefanecha, there's a suffix that was neilad that already makes us wonder was there a payment or not, then even though there's a cheskas chiyuv, he has a chazaka to pay. Nevertheless, since there's a suffix lefanecha, there's a reason that a suffix was nesayir, even if he's not tining a bari, but as long as it's not an idea of mehechatesi, why should I think he was paid already? Here there's a reason to believe that he may have been paid. That's enough already to create a suffix, and therefore we're going to say mitzmech v'arel v'arayim. If there's no suffix that's or just he says, I don't know if I paid, that's not considered a suffix, mehechatesi, and therefore we don't care if that he has a cheskas mamon, and since the status quo was that he had to pay, That he says he doesn't know if he paid is not going to change the status quo. But if there's a suffix that already changes the status quo, that's already going to be enough to make it that he'll be butter because Hamitzim Chaveril Varayin, he has Cheskas Mamet.